Call the workshop to order.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to introduce Dr. Jody Long, who will introduce our presenters today for today's workshop.
Thank you so much. So thank you all for being here today. We truly appreciate it. As you may know, we celebrate a lot of things in November. One of them is National Entrepreneurship Month. I bet everybody knew that already. In alignment with this theme, we wanted to share more about entrepreneurship at Daytona State College. We have a rich history of being on the cutting edge of community and student support, residence hall for affordable accommodations, new programs for career advancement, and student success initiatives, just to name a few. Dr. Cheryl Weems has brought a much broader vision for entrepreneurship to our campus and our programs. She began by planting seeds about the entrepreneur mindset, and that it is, quote, more than starting a business, because that's what many people think about entrepreneurship. I don't want to steal any of her thunder from today's presentation, and I don't want to steal too many minutes because we have an action-packed time planned for you. You might see some signs in front of you. We'll have a little activity toward the end, so that's going to be lots of fun as well. So I'm going to leave it to Dr. Weems to share a little about the history of our entrepreneurial education and training experience that students can have here. That we have here at Daytona. And then Cheryl is letting her team talk a little bit about some of their experiences in both teaching and learning when it comes to entrepreneurship. We'll briefly hear from faculty as well as staff and students, and we will also have a quick introduction for our very first, this is how much Daytona State has gotten around this idea, our very first entrepreneurial education and training coordinator, or our EET coordinator. If you hear Cheryl talk about EET, that's what that is, the entrepreneurial education and training. And so we're very excited to have Dr. Melody Jackson with us today as well. And then we'll wrap up, as I said, with an activity. It's going to be presented by Teresa Rand, and some time for questions along the way. So I'm very excited about this opportunity for us to share what we're doing here with entrepreneurship. And I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. I will speak. We welcome this opportunity to bring to your attention the work that we're doing on our campus in the entrepreneurial education and training space. We've had 5 years of effort toward this initiative. In the first 3 years, we were funded by the state. We wrote a grant, we were funded by the state. We received $100,000. And we used $100,000 each of those first 3 years to build the foundation. In year four, we no longer received the grant, and we were scrambling. We were scrambling to kind of keep the momentum going and introducing other support mechanisms, and we were very fortunate that the foundation certainly helped stepped up to the plate, as well as Truist, and of course there was always DSC support in there. And by the fifth year, we became official. As Dr. Long just mentioned, we have an account, we have a budget. Thank you, Marty. We have a coordinator. Thank you, Dr. Locklear. And so we feel like we're official now, so we're part of the culture. So here we are in year five, and we'll talk about what year five looks like at the end of the presentation, but let me tell you how we got here. When we got the grant, and we realized that we had a lot of money to spend and a little bit of time, but we needed to make an impact, we reached out to entrepreneurs in our community and faculty and formed an advisory board, and we said, this is our challenge, how do we do this? And they came up with 9 things that have really sustained us for the last 5 years. The first thing they said, well, your program or your initiative must be a best practice model, so it's not a one and done. Then they said, benchmark your performance standards so you'll see how you grow. Then they said, generate student success narratives, capture that all along the way, as well as expand outreach to all students. So we had one member of our committee who was really adamant about that. Everyone should be exposed to this. This should not just be a trap for business students, or not a trap just for students in the humanities. Every student should have this opportunities to have this experience. They said that whatever we do in terms of learning and teaching should be integrated in the curriculum. And that was a really good recommendation, because an isolated track would then mean students would be, again, excluded from the program if they weren't in the right track. So if it's integrated across all the curriculum, then you have a chance of getting all kinds of entrepreneurial exposure from your faculty, because many of our faculty, as you'll hear later on, have been certified or trained in the entrepreneurial programs that we teach. They said add opportunities to train faculty, so whatever resources we have, make sure that we can continuously develop our faculty so they can develop along with our students. Increase advertisement and branding, I've been telling you twice. So we really focused on creating a brand and pushing out marketing, and Chris Tomes and his crew, we drove them crazy, but they have been very supportive of our efforts to brand the EET and to advertise it. They said reach out to businesses to offer training. So now take this out of the context of DSC and go to the businesses and say, are you interested in entrepreneurial training, education training? So that was an option for us as well. And then finally they said always, always think about the next level of implementation. So they offered those recommendations in 2021, and we found that those followed us through that last 5 years. Every time we went back to the board to renew them, they said, keep doing what you're doing. So this is the premise upon which the programs are the things that we did to develop. So the first thing we did was create a brand, so that as we push material out and talk about what we're doing, we officially created a brand. And so we became the Entrepreneurial Education and Training Experience. Then we asked the question of students to say, would you like to be an entrepreneur, Gary? What do you think? Would you like to be an entrepreneur?
Sure.
I think so. And Kelly, do you think you'd like to be, or you would like to be a valuable employee?
I would.
Absolutely. And Lloyd, what about a visionary? Are you a visionary?
Always.
And then Randy, what about an influencer?
I hope so.
Okay, so if you answered yes to any of these questions, students, then you really can see yourself as being part of this entrepreneurial education training experience. Because we're not necessarily training you to be an entrepreneur, we're training you to think like an entrepreneur. We're giving you the tools in your chest of resources so that you can become empowered. That's the whole idea. We want to empower our students so they begin to think like you. Right? They think like you. They might want to be like you, but they certainly get it and can think just like you. So then we said we need to create a structure under which all of these things that we're getting ready to do fall under, so it's not haphazard. So the first category of initiatives or programming, if you will fall under education. So we figured that one out. Then we said the second category of things that we will do will fall under exposure. The third category will be under engagement. So anything that we do, we check the box. Is this education? Is this exposure? And or is this engagement? So under education, we needed to find curriculum that we thought would help brand our program, and we were fortunate enough to tie into the entrepreneurial mindset imperative. You know, we read about it, we certified in this area. You know, this is the whole idea of helping our students, helping individuals begin to think at the next level, ask them questions, probe, you know, think like the person that's supervising me. Think about my value to the business that I work in. But these are the things that the entrepreneurial mindset reinforces. So we use this book, Who Owns the Ice House, as the premise, written by Clifton Talbert. And we introduced this book to our faculty and our students, gave them away that first year. Everyone was reading the book. And we invited the author to campus to talk with our students. And he mesmerized them. He absolutely mesmerized them. So students were on board, all right? They read the book, now they're ready for the next step. So D was one of the first innovators. We had three faculty who were brave enough to take the training that November, December, and D ultimately went on to become our master trainer on our campus. D, what does the entrepreneurial mindset training, what does it look like?
All right.
Here you go.
So I started off now, we do not have to pay Eli to train. Well, we still pay them a third of what we used to pay them. So now I'm the master certifier here at the campus for all of our staff and faculty. We have 9 right now that are actively in this course. It's a 4-week training. They basically go through the same education that the students are, and then they become facilitators, and then they can infuse this curriculum into all their courses. Mm-hmm. And it is offered in our certificate programs all the way up into our bachelor programs. So instead of hearing from me, I'll let you hear from some of our students.
One student?
Okay. Oh. One student. I brought two with me.
We'll come back to Chris.
Okay, right, but this is Regina Reed. She's in our barbering program right now, and she has been doing this curriculum, so I'll turn it over to her.
Hi, so I'm finishing up the book right now, but with this, I'm currently working in a different portion of my industry. However, I do need to diversify. I think with this being a more vocational hours program, this type of opportunity allows me to put puzzle pieces together to kind of brainstorm and kind of create more clarity in the bigger picture of what I'm looking for.
Very good. Well, thank you. So the curriculum is integrated. It's not an external program. The faculty you train take the curriculum, they embed it in the existing curriculum, in this case, cosmetology and barbering. And then as they're teaching cos and barb, they're also teaching these entrepreneurial mindset components, and students are getting credit for that and moving through the modules. So then we asked Gary, the second author, to come and speak to our faculty. He did a development session with our faculty to ask questions as relative to their experiences with what we were doing, to get some suggestions and to offer. His first question was, when he came and met with our faculty, he said, okay, how many of you were voluntold? Because he wanted to know, and no one raised their hand. People were like, we want to do this. He was like, really? And so he was very pleased to feel that level of commitment amongst our faculty. And he gave us a really great workshop development around how to implement, teach, and deliver. So that was like a follow-up to the first author. Then, of course, we started rolling out students and getting them certified. Brad Moody over in the Digital Interactive Media Production was one of the first faculty to have students complete and get certificates. So this was in year one. So we have advanced from there, but this is an example of how we moved that. Then we offered a second curriculum, Design for Delight, and Dee also is the lead for that one. And this one is more of a creative thinking kind of curriculum, where students learn to peel back layers, ask hard questions, and get to the root of the problem. Like you bring your car in and you say to the mechanic, and somebody says to the mechanic, I hear a noise. You don't want that mechanic to say, I don't know what to do about that. You want that mechanic to say, help me understand, where is the noise coming from? How often do you hear the noise? When does the noise occur? Peeling back the layers to problem solve. That's what the Design for Delight curriculum does for us. And then Pat, our professor from the School of Business Administration, made the case that the students need financial management training as well. So Pat, you want to talk quickly?
Hi, I'm Pat Herndon. So we partnered with NACI to implement Financial Management for Entrepreneurs, FMFE. And this is for students who have never taken a business course, a finance course. This could be if you're trying to start your own restaurant or your own art gallery, and giving you that financial background. So how to create a budget, giving you access to QuickBooks Online so you can learn how to pull financial statements and read them. So that is what that curriculum entails. And I have also, I guess, next slide.
How many faculty have you certified?
I've certified three.
Okay, great. And it's tough. It's a tough curriculum.
It is. It's a 40-plus-hour, especially if you've never taken a business course. It could be a little bit longer. But you get certified through to it.
So here are some early adopters that Pat has, that Dr. Herndon has worked with. We're very happy to have them come forward, but not voluntold. And then we have a second program, a third program.
Yes, we have a Verizon Small Business Digital Ready program, and this is partnered with Verizon. They have their own program that gives like marketing, advertising, also finance information, and then they also give grants and partners with other entrepreneurs that they can connect with.
Great, thank you. So now we've moved it on. We have the Entrepreneurial Mindset curriculum, we have the Design for Delight curriculum, and now we've introduced finances to our students. Again, these are curricula items that are embedded in courses that are already being taught. So that's what's happening in the education side. Then we said, well, what about exposure? How do we get our students engaged or exposed to the entrepreneurs that can help them in their journey? And remember, the entrepreneurs come not as only people who are interested in helping them start their business, but to offer empowerment, and to build them up and to share journeys and stories so students can see themselves in those steps, like yesterday's talk with Jack. So the first thing we did was we engaged an entrepreneur in residence, Teresa Rand, and she helped us to push out a campaign around the concepts that are associated with the program. There are 8, we have them in front of you, they're all around the room, but everything about the EET speaks to those 8 concepts. So we talk about empowerment, we see empowerment through opportunity, knowledge, choice, action, assistance, wealth, community, and brand. As defined in the book, students then interpret that, and we have given the students a chance to give a 3-minute pitch. At the end of the year, they get on the big stage like a TED Talk, and they give a 3-minute pitch around one of those concepts and integrate the concept in their journey. And they're excellent at that. They just blow you away, but it's very focused, and it prepares them for that opportunity when they actually have a product that they want to present to a possible lender. Right, so that's an exercise that trains them for that, and it also helps our students to organize their thoughts. So we created, Teresa helped us to create a brand around each of those concepts, and you have them in front of you. And what we did was we wanted to show students in every program around those 8 concepts. So for every program we have here at Daytona State, most of them anyway, we created a deck of cards. So students can see themselves around these concepts. So we did it for culinary, for for arts and sciences, we did it for workforce, but every single program has a set of cards where students look like them who are speaking to these points of empowerment. Again, branding and making sure that we're pushing the message out so that students understand that they live in the midst of an entrepreneurial education training environment. We also created an entrepreneurial resource center, which is phenomenal. And the resource center houses over 200 titles. In the first 2 years, we had 1. In year 5, we have 3. The third one is going to be just a site for professionals, for faculty and staff. The other 2 serve students, and 1 is on Deltona, on the Deltona campus. So we're trying to, again, make sure that all of the students have an opportunity to be part of this experience. And then, of course, to expose the students, we bring the entrepreneurs in, and they do workshops, and we do diamond discoveries, and lunch and learns, and they engage in speaker events. And when Mr. Talbot came that first year, and he spoke to us, and he said, you know, you really need to get my son. You know, my son is a great entrepreneur. He has a great story. You should get him. So in year 3, we brought his son in, and he mesmerized the students. He was like the Pied Piper. They followed him all over the place, because after he was done, they wanted everything. They were eating everything up that he had to offer. So we've had a lot of fun with these kinds of workshops and dine-in discoveries where they come in and enter the class and interface with our students. That's Jet Tree's class over photography. And then the next level is engagement, of course. So now that we have an educational model, we know how to expose them years 1, 2, and 3. Now, how do we get students now connected to something? So the first thing we did was we brought a few more entrepreneurs in. And these entrepreneurs actually worked closely with students, had high touches, worked in small groups, helped us with some, Michael would call them fireside chats, and he would do lots of videos and engage our faculty. He helped us with the faculty development piece. But these entrepreneurs came in and put their hands on students and helped us work very closely with our students. And then the SBDC jumped in and said, we have a game called The Launch. It's a business, it's a game of life, but it's a game of business. It's like a Monopoly game, but it's on a large scale. Let's do that. And so every February now we have The Launch, and the students have a great time learning how to run a business by playing a game, and then suddenly there's a catastrophe. Everything falls apart, and they have to figure out how to get out of it. So the game flows very well, and at the end they think about, wow, maybe I shouldn't have taken that turn, or I should not have made that investment, or I didn't think there was going to be a hurricane, and you know, the nerve of that gone bankrupt. So it's a great experience for our students. We have a lot of fun, and it's February. So years 1, 2, and 3, we used that platform and kept building off of that, expanding that. So that was the foundation. Now 4 and 5, we started to pivot a little bit. What else could we do with the entrepreneurial education training experience? So you know we have 2 exchange programs here that's run out of the SBDC. We have the CEO exchange program and we have a growth exchange program. So we involve those members in everything that we have done years 1 through 5. Years 1, 2, 3, many of those members work with our students, offer opportunities for our students to shadow them. one of the things that we asked them to do is how can we mirror what you're doing at the student level? And so they helped us to formulate what's called, what the students named it, the Innovation Quest Exchange, the IQ Exchange, and similar to what the CEO Exchange does. The idea is the students come in, they talk about their businesses, they get help from each other, there's a facilitator. So we formed the IQ Exchange last year to get to find who those students are and to see whether or not we could begin to push this idea out. And we have some great leadership this year with our students here who are very involved in the IQ Exchange. Two things.
Hello guys, my name is Lakeisha Ruggiero. I am the leader of the IQ Exchange Coordinator. I just want to say it's a great opportunity to be a leader and be led. I'm not just building a business because I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm teaching, and this will go with me so far. I could be an employee, a valuable employee, or I can be a successful entrepreneur. So being in this position is amazing. And that's what we're doing at the IQ Exchange.
And she has products. I'm usually wearing her product, beautiful keychain. Lakeisha has products. Every so often she'll share her products with us. And she's an entrepreneur herself. Thank you, Lakeisha. And then Verizon, Truist came in, and we applied for a grant with Truist, and we were awarded, and we were able to, following the IQ Exchange, now students are ready to launch their business. So the Truist dollars helped us to frame a program called Launch to Success. And that program extracts from the IQ Exchange those students who are at the door. They're ready. And so now we have a different kind of engagement for those students to help them get to the pitch. Right? So Truist was able to help us with that. And then we were blessed with additional funding from NACI. Dr. Herndon applied for a third grant. And she got it. And it's the Everyday Entrepreneur Program and Fund. And quit very quickly, what do we do there?
So this will be a pitch competition. And so if students have want to start their own business or have a business idea or already have a business, they want to do something different, try something, but they need additional funding, they can apply for the scholarship and then go through this process of how to come up with a pitch proposal, and then they'll present on April 3rd.
Thank you very much. And this is the awards that we got, we were able to get through this program, are monetary, and so it helps the students with some startup. Now, and then, another pitch, thank you, Dr. Herndon. And then Dr. Jackson, who has just joined us now for not even 2 months, has helped to frame how you all can help us. If you all leave today and say, I think I want to get involved, I want to work with the students, I want to become part of this EET experience, then she would invite you to be a savant.
Thank you. Our savants are individuals who decide that they want to share of their knowledge, experience, and abilities with our students. I created a way for there to be structure, so that if you invest your time, you know you're investing your time wisely, that there's structure and purpose to it. So our Savant program allows anyone who wants to support our students to be able to have a structured way to do that.
Great, thank you. And there are categories. You could volunteer to come and speak with students. You can come and give a presentation. You can do a one-on-one with students. You can show up once a year or whatever, but Dr. Jackson has created a structure so that you can engage any way you want, and for as long as you want, and for as much as you want. And so that's very helpful because people will always say, what do you want me to do? What can I do? So she has designed a model that will help you fit in to the entrepreneurial education and training experience. And then, last year we said, why don't we try something different and started talking about creating our own enterprise. You know, we have entrepreneurs all over the place. Our students are very invested, our faculty are very invested. So let's look and see how we could create an enterprise, a manufacturing enterprise that would allow our students and faculty to identify a product, to make the product, to monetize the product, and then sell them as part of a state college system. So we started investigating that, and the first thing that we did was we went to the Brains Trust of the business faculty. But in this whole enterprise, the Smart Tiny Project, maybe 8 different departments fed into this, just to give you some background. So in our business area, we had Dr. Kenyon and Dr. Codis, who engaged their students in creating capstone projects that impacted or affected or informed the process of creating a tiny house community. In Nathan's case, his students made the recommendation of a DDO.
A direct support organization.
Yeah, please, thank you.
They thought big. They thought big. Sure. It was so quiet. So my students, they took it and they looked at the small things, which is just with the tiny smart house itself, you know, like the legal transfer of that, and how's it going to hold, and how's it going to sell, and then they also came up with the idea of, like, if this is going to be a continuing, ongoing thing, then we need to think bigger. We need to think of a direct support organization like that supports the college and sort of can operate independently as a nonprofit and funnel money through. And the universities are doing it, so they said the college should do it too. So, anyway, I'm not surprised to see 2 of my students over here as well, so that's fantastic.
Thank you so much. So it gives us an opportunity to make that presentation to our leadership to say, you know, can we form the enterprise? Here's a model. You know, we've researched it across the state system. There are a few other schools who have a similar model, so we're hoping that we can solidify an enterprise under which our faculty can propose projects with their students. They can make the product, monetize the product, sell the product, and put the money back into the fund, put the profit back into the fund to give someone an opportunity next time. So in our case, and Professor Meeks has done amazing work with his students in terms of tying in their engagement with the EET experience and Grady. Thank you, Professor Meeks. And so we started with the Smart Tiny House focus and said, okay, we need drafting, we need animated rendering. So we have different schools with their faculty coming in and helping us out in terms of what that would look like. And then of course, what we did not know was that we had to build a trailer. We didn't know that. So we were building the house before we got this. We were building the house. The house was already framed. And then somebody said, how are we gonna get the house outside? And so that ended that semester, closed, curtain down, and we went on break. And we came back to the welding folks and said, can you help us? And they said, sure we can. So this is the advanced welding class. And they worked a few weeks very diligently on building the trailer over on this campus. And so now that the trailer was built, we then had to get this trailer back over to the ATC, bring the house back outside so they can build. So as we're making plans to bring the trailer over to the ATC, I learned that there was something else we didn't know. And Randy's not here, but we needed like a TIN number. Who knew? So we couldn't put the trailer on the street without a TIN number. So we investigated what that would take, what that would mean. It took months. It would take months to get a TIN number. So now I'm thinking, I have visions of elephants just pulling this thing in the middle of the night across the street. But I was packed. We just didn't know what to do. We were frozen. I went to Gary Owens and I said, can you help us? And they said, sure, what do you need? So we need to get a trailer from here to there. The next day, they were here, they loaded up the trailer, got it over to, in broad daylight, it was legal, brought it to the ATC, and then we were able to begin construction on that house. So this was last spring. So the students are busy, busy, busy building the tiny house, busy, 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 busy building the tiny house that we hope to monetize through the enterprise. Put it on the market, and we hope to sell it and return the initial investment back to the account that was advanced to us and use the residual for the next project. So we have several partners here, Gary Yeomans, we have Bill Navarro from our Realty, All Pro Realty, who will help us with that, with the logistics of how to market the tiny house. We've been working with Habitat Humanity to make sure that we have some parameters in order and framed properly. And Hudson's Furniture has agreed to showcase, to stage the house. So when you come with your checkbooks to buy this house, you'll be amazed. It'll be stepped up and very pretty, and you'll want to buy it. You'll want to buy it. So on December 16th, we have our Tiny House Showcase. Hope you all come. It'll be at the ATC. We'll be featuring our tiny house, talking a little bit more about the enterprise, and just showing you what students can do, faculty and students can do when they combine efforts around an entrepreneurial effort and idea. It's an amazing product project. Again, we have about 8 departments that fed into this. The house will be supported by our apprentices. I think I said that to Dr. Lovasso. The wiring on the house, our students are trained to wire, and they're trained to install plumbing and HVAC. But we got to plumbing and wiring, I asked for licensed people. Yeah, but please. So our students wired, took it out, and then we put the journeyman in. We have apprenticeship programs. And so we tapped our apprentices, and they came in, the journeyman, and they did the wiring for us. The students watched the plumbing, pulled it out, and then the HVAC, and I mean the plumbers from the pipe fitters union will finish the job for us next week, the rough next week. So again, a fully engaged product, and we're all proud of it. But this was last spring. The students were just having some fun with Falcon, Trading Falcon, and he was having a lot of fun with us. So then we kind of elevated with Dr. Jackson again to get another level in terms of expanding the ERC and creating a makerspace. So now that we have projects going that students can engage in, entrepreneurial products that they can engage in, we want to give them a space so they can flex a little bit. You know, we want to give them a room, a space where they can create products, they can mold plastics, they can mold the metals that they're using, they can demonstrate what they want to make to present to someone to say, this is my product, they're pitching it. So we're giving them a makerspace, and we're building that out now. And so we're very excited about that. Open building 140. And then when we look at the data right now, in terms of what we have been able to accomplish in 5 years, we have 5 curriculum tracks. We have 2 faculty fellows, DJ and Pat Herndon. Thank you, Dr. Locklear, again. We have a faculty development support system so that Dee and Pat are there to help our faculty who are training, who are engaged in entrepreneurial delivery with resources and connections and that type of thing. To date, we have 62 certified faculty and staff, so they're out there. They're out there teaching this, and somewhere in the curriculum. And over 3,000 students have been exposed to these curriculum through classes over the last 5 years. We have 14 messaging campaigns, 11 legacy videos. We have at least 200 titles in our ERC. We have website exposure, and we have a podcast program. So we have one already under our belt. One of our students has already interviewed our first podcast guest. But under Dr. Jackson's leadership, we will begin to roll those out more. And again, you might be a guest, so please consider being a guest on our podcast. And then, of course, the example of how we have engaged over the 5 years, our members of our community, our faculty, our staff, our students, et cetera. But let me talk a little bit more about the Falcon Talk event. So what happens there is, as I said, the students read the book, they go through the curriculum, they learn about these empowerment principles, and I have learned to talk about these principles, not as entrepreneurial mindset principles, but as empowerment. I talk to high school kids about these principles. I talk to, you know, 5th, 8th graders about these principles. I talk to college kids, people in business. It's not just entrepreneurial mindset, but it's an empowerment piece. So we help our students understand the value of those 8 principles and how they can structure a lifestyle around those principles. And then we invite them to the big stage, coached by Teresa, over a period of time, doesn't happen overnight. And they get up on the stage, like Chris did last year, and they blow us away. And they blow us away. So it's not just storytelling. It's really focusing on that word, thinking about what it is that you want to present to someone, and getting it done in about 3 minutes. That's the business pitch. And that's the training that we offer. So do you have any questions at this point? Because now you're becoming students.
We want to hear Chris's business.
I have on film. Chris, you want to say 2 things?
2 things?
Right. 2 things, Chris.
It is. It's an honor to be here, and thank you. But I came from physical therapy. I did the barbering program and graduated with high honors. And this, the Ice House book alone, changed my perspective and also gave me some confirmation of what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. Further, I would have to say the community really took place in my life without expecting it, and it really changed my life. Also, the biggest part of it is I'm able to change other people's lives and have brought a lot of students to Daytona State College. It's been life-changing for them and very powerful.
Very good. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, so what I would like to do is share with you what has sustained us, why this model has worked, because of our faculty leadership. I mean, it just runs. They just find ways to get in, and they bring ideas, and they just run with it. And of course, because we have been able to attract external funding, money begets money. So you get a little money here, people are interested, and then they offer help as well. The big thing was the integration of Daytona State College funding in our model. That has really helped to that will help to sustain this initiative. And then finally, just student curiosity. They're always coming through asking questions, where can I get this, what can I do? As long as these things move forward, it will propel the EET experience at DSC. So we would like to now, if you have questions, hold them, because we want you to become students for a minute, just a minute. So Teresa's going to come up and give you an experience that we offer to our students, and let's see how you do.
What an introduction. I'm not going to make you talk for 3 minutes as we do the students. And Christopher, if you ever have a chance to go on, they're all online, but the videos are amazing and the impact that he had. And we had another student back here that spoke. We've had a couple faculty that have spoken at Falcon Talk, so it's a really great event. And we'll be inviting all of you to that. But for today, what we want you to do, you do see the cards in front of you. And since we have two people out, if you don't like your card, take theirs, okay? And what I'm gonna have you do, these are literally the 8 chapters in this book. And obviously the authors expand on these chapters with stories and information. And you know, Dr. Talbert talks about his growing up in Mississippi and his uncle. Some of us are old enough to remember when you didn't have ice makers in your refrigerator, and his uncle ran the local ice house in a small town in Mississippi. And he uses these principles that he learned as a 12-year-old working with his uncle. And it's amazing how many, many years later, we're still using these principles. So what we want you to do is look at your word, and this is what we have the students do. They get to actually pick a word. We gave you a word, but they get to pick a word that they can tell a story about how it impacted them in their business, their life, more often than not their education because of where they are currently in life, although many of them work as well. So we want you to take just a few seconds.
Sorry, 15.
Just a few seconds to prepare your 1 minute spiel. Make sense? On your word. Come on, Kelly. Kelly's looking at me like, really? Bob, you write great articles. I know this will be a piece of cake for you.
And I can switch a word.
You can switch a word. What word would you like?
I'll take persistence.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I thought you were going to steal wealth.
You know, interestingly enough, persistence is one of the words that the majority of the students pick.
Really?
Yep. They like persistence.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Which means, Gary, they've heard the most, so you'll get judged the hardest.
So I'm going to interject. You have about 15 seconds to tell us what this means to you, because we really want to end you on time. But we want you to experience how the students experience, right? This is a mountain that they're climbing. You know, they're building confidence. You're getting their chops. You know, they're going to have to talk to someone else beside themselves at the work. And so we build them up to this point. So, Gary, tell us how persistence is important in your life.
Well, being in banking up until 45 days ago, for 48 years, a big part of my career was spent around business development. And one of the things that even when I later became in a senior management role and coaching, that was, I had a customer actually describe me as the most professionally persistent person he's ever met in his life. It took me 3 years to get this company's business. And that always stuck with me over the years about professional persistence, but it's also, to me, it describes resilience it describes follow-up and planning and all those things that go into getting business and advancing yourself too as well.
Suit up and show up is what I often tell the students.
Yeah.
No matter what, just keep suiting up and showing up. Because you hired a lot of people that had this trait, whether you really identified it, you know, as this trait,
yeah.
But I bet you hired a lot of people with this trait.
Unfortunately, our daughter had this trait as a child. Later in life, it became a positive thing, but as a child, it was very painful.
That's great.
So we have time for one more.
Okay.
Jeez, I'm sorry, we ran out of time, but we want to hear from someone else. And Teresa's going to pick you.
Oh, geez.
You have a choice.
Kelly, make yours about 15 seconds. Now I'm going to go to Bob. What word did you have?
Opportunity.
Oh, love it. Okay, quick.
All right, I have choice. The thing that came to mind is when I was a senior in college, I had spent almost 20 years of my life studying to go to Broadway. I was a singer, a dancer, an actor, piano player. And I knew I wasn't happy, but I didn't know what to do, and I had a choice, a very important choice, to go pursue that and kind of hold on to my 5-year-old little girl dream, which I knew wasn't going to make me happy, or go try something totally different. And I went the different route, and I have never looked back.
There you are. Great. Thank you. And Bob?
Wow, opportunity. as I enter the third part of my life, you know, I talk about part one being your sort of formative education. It's your accumulation of knowledge. You're going to school. You're getting credentialed. You're doing all that. Second part is your work life. You're putting all that education and you're going out and you're starting your career. You're buying a house. And then your third part of life is your fulfillment stage. And so in the third part, as I look at opportunity, it involves risk. And opportunity doesn't knock. Opportunity is a window, and sometimes we don't see the window, sometimes it's wide open, but you have to be aware of it. It involves risk. Sometimes it comes from adverse circumstances, sometimes it comes just, you know, as a gift, but you have to be aware and you have to be looking and you have to be have a consciousness of those opportunities when they're made for you. So.
Quote of the day, opportunity doesn't knock. That's great. So you just wrote your next article. Thank you, Dr.
You see why she's so effective with our students. She gets them engaged. She trains them. She coaches them. She builds them up. We invite you to the big stage April 9th next spring. We'll host our fifth Falcon Talk. We had the first Falcon Talk in Dean's classroom. Maybe 20 or 30 students. Now we're in the big stage. We're at the Lemurock. The whole Sandy Center, and that's where we have our Falcon Talk event now. So you're invited April 9th, and we'll make sure you get the information out. One other thing I'd like to say, Rakesha, any one of these people would be valuable to the IQ Exchange in telling their stories and empowering you. Yes. So we want to invite you also to become a savant. Volunteer your time. Come in and give what you have to our students, because that's what they're looking for. Right, Chris? They're looking for a connection, they're looking for mentoring, they're looking for someone who has walked the walk and talked the talk. Someone who also will tell them, that's not a good idea. You need to pivot. And we get a lot of that too. But thank you for indulging us. I thank you, all of you, for coming and supporting the effort. But this is what we've been up to quietly over the last 5 years. And so do you have any questions about the entrepreneurial education and training experience at Daytona State College?
Got a question, and it's, I'm putting on my chamber hat and then also my prior banking hat and all that. How do you integrate with the Small Business Development Center?
Well, the first thing that we did was we appealed to their exchange groups to help us formulate the IQ Exchange. Most of the people on the IQ Exchange have somehow and worked with us as speakers, or they've come in to coach our students, and so we've gotten a resource from them. You can't really work with the Small Business Center unless those students are level two. If they're at level two, we refer them to Tricia. But we haven't had any level two businesses yet, because the SBDC is targeted for the level two, not startups. But
okay.
We do engage SCORE for the help.
So you're focused on SCORE and startups.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, great, thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment, you know, thank you, Cheryl, for the presentation and the whole team. As you can see, pretty impressive. And a shout out to, you know, Dee. I kind of, you know, brag on her a little bit because this entrepreneur, and this is something that I heard back when this started, and it resonated with me personally, that you don't have to own the business to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, I think of my career, I mean, and I did have a business at one point, but I don't own Daytona State College, but, you know, entrepreneur, you know, ship and values and things like that, I think what helped me, you know, get where I am. But Dee carry, you know, and I see it in people, some more than others, but, you know, Dee has owned her program, and since she's been in charge of that program, the enrollment has gone through the roof. So, you know, it goes to show, you know, she doesn't own the cosmetology department. But
that's just it.
But she treats it like it is, and I think when you do that, you get great results. So, you know, just a shout out, because that whole, you know, that wrong, you know, when I heard that statement, you know, I don't know when it was, 5-6 years ago, about, you know, you don't have to own a business to be an entrepreneur. It really, you know, I think is great. It's what we're trying to do throughout the college, because I think if you have that entrepreneur mindset, every department's going to run really well, with purpose, you know, with goals and things like that, as if you were running your business. So just a shout out. We had a great speaker yesterday, Jeff Henderson, as part of the Lemron Entrepreneur Speaker Series that Gail sponsors. And we give out scholarships at the event, but some really good points there. So it's just this whole concept that we've embraced over the last 5 years that, as Cheryl's shown, is certainly permeated throughout the college. So,
thank you.
All right, thanks so much. You're welcome to the materials on the table, or we'll take them back. And we will. Lena, is the hook out?
The hook is out.
Is out.
Thank you so much. Great job, by the way. Yeah, thank you.